Well, always a pleasure to have you in, Lisa. And it was interesting. We were talking before we came on the air here. We were sharing some old Apple Festival stories. And Lisa mentioned that this year she did not get the fried ice cream. Matt and I made up for that.
We did.
Because we both
we enjoyed
our
it.
Fair share of the fried ice cream. See,
the ice cream is too sweet for me. I cannot have
it. Oh, really? Wow. That's my problem. I think many things are too sweet
for
me, but
yeah. Rotary, I support you in what you do and the raising of the money with the fried ice cream, but the ice cream sandwich between waffles and fried and syrup, and it's just too much for me.
It probably should be too much for me, as you can tell. I enjoy my sweets, I'll say that. I had a good time with it this year, I'll say. With the apples on top, that makes it healthy, right?
Right, kind of.
Is that how that works?
Yeah, there's fiber with strawberry. Uh-huh, you know, yeah. There's got to be some sort of...
Something like that.
Antioxidants or something. They say strawberries help with... They say strawberries help with digestion. I think I heard that somewhere, so that's how I'm going to justify having mine, but... See, what was impressive with what Matt did, I mean, not only did you have the fried ice cream, you kept going.
I did.
That was really impressive.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah, family was there, so we just made our way down the line there. Like I said, I think I made the comment at Lorain County Fair, sort of the same thing with the Apple Festival. I could probably blow more money there than Vegas on a good day. You walk past the fries, they've got cheese on them. You're like, well, I might as well stop and have some of those. Knowing, of course, none of this is healthy, but it didn't stop me. And then the apple cider, they made apple cider slush. How do you say no to that?
Groves apple cider.
Yeah.
You have to have one of those at least every year. I will have.
Exactly.
You have the apple fritters they have.
No, I didn't get to the apple fritter. See, it's a good thing I didn't see those. Otherwise, I never would have left the Apple Festival this weekend. I'd be rolling my way into work on Monday.
It was a lot of fun just to see that environment, you know, just to kind of see everybody at Ely Square congregating, having a great time. You mentioned that you were there when the Elyria band was playing also. It was a really cool festive atmosphere down there.
I love Fridays. Fridays at noon, the band kicks off and they play all of their show tunes. And there's right before they have Parade of the Bands that following day. So you get like this preview of their show. And, you know, the kids are out and the families are out. And it's like a really good day. So I love that. And I actually streamed the band performance on Facebook Live for the Chronicle Telegram. So if you want to view that, you can go to our Facebook page and see that.
Over 10,000 views, you said, right?
Yes. People love the Elyria High School Pioneer Marching Band. I am a band mom, so I understand that. Well, former band mom. My kid's no longer at high school, but once a band mom, always a band mom.
So. Sure. Hey, I think so impressive, the drum majors who come out and twirl the, whatever you call that thing. I'm not sure what.
Throw the baton.
Is that, they call it just a baton? But yeah, I mean, it's fascinating, the things they're able to do at the high school level. That just baffles me.
Emma is an amazing drum major. Hi, mm-hmm. Emma. She's my surrogate daughter.
Well, nice. There you go.
We have a lot to dive into. We could spend the entire segment on the Apple Festival. I mean, that was a ton of fun.
Yes, you guys gave me some heavy topics this week.
See, we're supposed to lighten the load like towards the end, but we decided to lighten it at the beginning. So, well, here come the heavy hitters, I guess. The opioid epidemic is something that you had written about earlier. And obviously, you know, it's something that's a very, very dangerous thing. But it sounds like City Council in Elyria took some steps yesterday to join the war against it. Who are they planning on putting the pressure on here?
Well, I knew we were going to start with this topic. It's just very timely for our community, the way heroin has kind of wreaked havoc in our community, from law enforcement to healthcare, and so certainly our community's residents. And so Elyria City Council, they met yesterday evening with a local attorney, Brian Balsner, who came to City Council at the request of the law director, Scott Saracen, to discuss Elyria filing suit against the big pharmaceutical companies that make these opiate drugs. So we're talking about the Vicodin and the Percocet and Oxycontin, these drugs that kind of are, people have said, are the gateway to heroin, because they get hooked on these drugs and they can't get these drugs, so the doctors cut them off, so they have to go someplace, and where they go is heroin. So the City Council is thinking of filing suit against these pharmaceutical companies to kind of hold them accountable for this trickle-down effect that they've started. And this is in line with what the Ohio Attorney General has done and what the City of Lorain has done and what the City of Dayton has done. And so this is something that Elyria wants to get started as well.
This is something that's really gained some steam here, it seems, recently. You said Mike DeWine has come out, and he said, look, we're going to go after them. And I know a lot of other cities have jumped on top of it beyond there, too. It seems like Elyria's standing up now and saying, look, we're in on this, too. But Ohio's one of the hardest-hit states, it seems, when it comes to this.
I hate to say this because it's very sad to admit, but in our newsroom, when we hear the scanners go off and they talk about another overdose, it doesn't even ring a... Mm-hmm. alarm for us. We don't jump up. We don't say it's just another news day, another day in Elyria where someone else has overdosed.
I mean, it's crazy to read the statistics, too. I think the coroner says, what, three a week coming from Lorain County? It's three people's deaths a week coming by this drug. It's crazy.
Yeah. No, it's – and I remember you had mentioned that previously. That, you know, a lot of times you listen to that scanner, you hear those all the time, unfortunately. Now, what – I guess the question here is, you know, what are they planning on doing when they attack some of these companies? Are they trying to limit access? Are they trying to closely monitor what they're doing and how much they're giving away here to make sure that these drugs aren't abused?
A little bit of everything, but it's such a complex issue when you're talking about a lawsuit. They kind of liken it to the lawsuits that were filed in the 1990s against the tobacco industries and how it took about a decade for those things to reach a settlement. And then there was somewhat of like $200 billion that these tobacco companies had to pay out, you know, over the first 25 years of this settlement to over 40 different states, because about 40 different states filed suit against these tobacco companies. And so this is just the tip of the iceberg when you're talking about the heroin epidemic and the opiate epidemic of cities and states coming out saying that the pharmaceutical companies should be held accountable.
What are they claiming? Are they claiming that they were not necessarily entirely truthful about some of the effects?
They are saying that they were not truthful in how powerful and addictive these drugs can be. And for background, like last year, I read this book called Dreamland. It's Dreamland, the true tale of America's opiate epidemic by Sam Quinones. And this book was... I read this book because we started writing more stories about heroin epidemics. Mm-hmm. And so I said, what's going on? Let me get some background. And then this book kind of paints this tale from two different sides about how, you know, the pharmaceutical companies are pushing these drugs and how pain became the fifth vital sign in the medical industry that doctors had to treat. And so because doctors had to treat it, the pharmaceutical companies answer that with these strong drugs to give them something to treat their patients with. And also in the back end about how, you know, these drugs are being pushed across the borders. And he's also like on the back end, you have heroin coming across the border. You got doctors pushing opiate drugs and they kind of collided into this like this big mess that we have now. And there was this one notation in the book that talked about how there was this one page letter to the editor to a medical journal that basically said the opiate drugs were not addictive and patients could take them safely. And that one paragraph was cited more than 600 times in different medical journals and different doctors and different pharmaceutical studies of just kind of proof. Someone wanted proof to paint back that, you know, these drugs were not addictive and they used that. And so that's like this catalyst that kind of starts like this huge snowball effect that happened with these drugs. And so now here we are today in 2017, and we have an overdose, you know, almost every day in our community.
Sure. That certainly paints a different picture than that story you just said right there.
Yeah, no question about it. Again, we're talking with Lisa Roberson of the Chronicle-Telegram on our local Beat with Lisa, brought to you by 9-Round Kickbox Fitness. You also wrote an article about a portion of the state report cards being released last week. What did we learn about this information that was released? And more importantly, what did it say about the improvement and the progress for the schools in and around Lorain County?
State report card day, that's the one day in the newsroom that no one offers help to me because I'm the only one who understands them. When you're looking at the six different components that the state judges school districts and schools on. And so these report cards are kind of very subjective because they're just a district's snapshot in time of how students did on this one day taking this one test. And it kind of allows, you know, the state to kind of grade the districts and see where they're going. And in Lorain County, the results kind of ran the gamut from districts like Avon that scored as one of the top districts in the state. I think Avon probably ranked about maybe 19 or 20 out of, you know, 610 districts. So Avon is a very highly rated district. And you have districts like Lorain that are struggling to rebound through academic distress. And so these tests were taken by students in the 2016-2017 school year, which is the second year that the state administered these tests developed by the American Institute for Research. Now, this is just lots of history for you because, like, 3 years ago, they had the Ohio Achievement Test, and then we moved to the PARC test, and then we moved to another round, the first round of AIR test, and now this is like the second year of AIR test. So, like, finally, districts are like, okay, we have a baseline. For 2 years, we take the same test, so now we can kind of start gauging our students and where they need to go.
Interesting. And you mentioned in there also about the whole scenario with Elyria and how there's some room for improvement there and how they can get better. Just if you could kind of elaborate on that and how you think things could certainly improve for Elyria.
Okay. So Elyria's Associate Superintendent Ann Slaw, she likes to say that growth has to be sustainable. They don't like these quick fixes where they just want to satisfy the report card for 1 year. They like to see gradual growth year after year that can be measured. And so if you look deep into their actual test scores, you can see that in 16 of 23 testing areas, Elyria has growth. Maybe it's 3% points or maybe 8 or 10, but they're growing steadily. They're steadily trending up. And so that's what they want. So then the trends are going in these younger grades. And so the younger grades are kind of growing. And so they're hoping that, you know, this will trickle down to high school. So if you're advancing your younger grades, by the time they get to high school, you're pulling everybody up. And see, there's a lot of programs in place in Elyria that's helping with this. They have this new math program called Envision. They have a new reading program called Achieve 300 that saw some promising results. And I can actually speak from personal experience because I have children in the district, and my son is a middle schooler, and he came to Elyria with some deficits, and he needed some interventions. And now, you know, today I get a call from a guidance counselor who says he scored so well on his test, they need to move him to advanced classes for math and science. So,
cool.
You know, they are making progress. Student by student, they're pulling them up.
Yeah, very cool. And I saw Wellington jumped up a letter grade. Is that right? They went from a D last year to a C. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. So everything sort of brought in together to make that full-on letter grade, and you mentioned they're kind of marked in six different categories, right?
Yes, they are marked in six different categories, and everything is kind of like you're talking, you know, from there. They're looking at test scores, and you're looking at K-3 literacy. They're looking at the graduation rate. They're looking at this thing called progress, where they want to see if students are making a year's worth of growth in a year or more than a year's worth of growth. And this is all started because, you know, the state has changed standards, and standards have a little bit more depth now. Now it's not just they want kids to know 2 plus 2 equals 4. They want you to tell them why this 2 plus 2 equal 4.
Yeah. I got to have reasons for it now. Ugh.
Sure.
That was already tough enough for me when it was just 2 plus 2 equals 4. That's funny.
Are they noticing anything in there? I mean, these are just test scores, but are they noticing anything different in the way that some of the information is being administered? For example, some kids do really well on tests, but when it comes to applying information, they have some deficiencies there. But I think that could be flipped also. Sometimes there are kids that just aren't necessarily good test takers, but when you tell them to go out and do something, they can go out and they can apply what they've learned with no problem at all.
And that's the big concern with a lot of educators, when they don't like when these test results come out, because it does not show what's happening in the classroom. It does not show what's going in and day out, when you have kids who can, you know, may or may not be good test takers, but they are excellent. They can build a robot from scratch. And, mm-hmm. You know, they have these robotic classes. They're more hands-on. And so report cards are great because they offer you one little snapshot, but they're also just one snapshot. You know, for parents to get a full picture of what's going on in schools, they have to start asking questions in the classroom and what's going on there.
And you mentioned this was just a portion, correct?
No, this was the full report
card. This is the full?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Every year they give you the full report card, but it looks back to the year prior, which is another concern with some educators, because it says it's hard for them to, you know, gauge where they need to change, because by the time the report cards come out, the students who took those tests have moved on to a new grade and they don't have those students anymore. So now they have this whole new group of students and they have this data that has a year lag to it. So
I'd imagine too, as you mentioned, Elyria is trying to kind of not build from the ground up. They're trying to improve everything, obviously, but they're working more so with the younger kids, trying to build them in hopes that when they get to that high school level, everything's kind of worked and flowed its way in there. I mean, do the report cards show that? Is there a way to show?
It does show that, but see, you have to look into the report cards.
Yeah.
You'll just see, you know, oh, there's an F grade or there's a D grade, and people say, well, you know, then you have to look behind the grade. You have to click where it says view for more data. You have to look at the more data because you have to see the numbers.
Lisa, we may have to give your number so that people can ask you exact, because I looked at your story on this and I tried to go through and look at the report cards, and some of it just didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I mean, I understood the fact that people are obviously doing better in these situations, but your article certainly helped.
I always pull. I say, well, let me pull up your exact district and tell me your student's exact grade, so you can see where they're growing at.
Cool.
Well, what kinds of, before we cut you loose here, what kinds of things do you have in the works for the coming week?
Well, today I wrote a short story that you probably saw on our website about how the city of Elyria wants the region to kind of pull together and come behind Cleveland. Cleveland's going to make a bid for the Amazon headquarters. You know, Amazon wants to build a brand new headquarters someplace in North America. And Elyria is not the place where that headquarters is going to be. You know, Amazon has said they want a place as 1 million people metropolis, and they want to make sure that it's close to, you know, arts and sciences and universities, and they want to make sure you're close to airports. Elyria is not that place. Mm-hmm. We're a small town. We're not going to pull in an Amazon headquarters. But the mayor said everyone needs to get behind Cleveland and pull it to the region. So it could be good for the region, because that next headquarters will employ 50,000 people.
Wow.
It's really nice.
Yeah, that's fantastic. No doubt about it. Well, cool stuff, Lisa. We appreciate it as always.
Thank you for having me. I love to come.
Absolutely. We look forward to doing it again next week.
All right.